Paul Marshall's latest novel, The Fisher King, a little boy named Sonny travels from his home in Paris to visit family in the U.S. All Sonny knows about these relatives is that his caretaker, Hattie, isn't all that fond of them, but they want to meet him. He's named after his grandfather, Sonny Rhett Payne, an African-American jazz musician who left the U.S. to pursue a successful career in Paris. Little Sonny soon finds himself thrust into a family feud he struggles to understand. Author Paul Marshall has set The Fisher King in Brooklyn, the setting for many of her novels. Paul Marshall, welcome.
Thank you.
I do have to wonder about Brooklyn. Is it just that you love Brooklyn, so you're going to keep going back to it, or what?
Well, Brooklyn really sort of constitutes for me the home place in the sense that not only was I born and raised there, but it was the place that sort of nurtured me, both as a woman and a writer. I was fortunate in that I lived in a household where my mother had a number of very close friends, and they would gather, once or twice a week, sit around the kitchen table and talk. And it wasn't just gossip. They also talked about everything under the sun. They told stories. And it was in the storytelling, just my absorbing what was going on in that kitchen, that really, in a sense, began my apprenticeship as a writer. I wanted to see if I couldn't have some of the power with language that I sensed that they had.
The book is told primarily through the viewpoint, from the viewpoint of this little boy, eight-year-old Sonny. He carries all kinds of associations for different members of the family. And he also, though, has kind of a calming effect on them.
Yes, this little boy kind of links these four generations that have been at odds with each other. And the fact that they all, in a sense, are taken with him, that they come to love this little boy, helps them to overcome some of the animosity that they feel for each other.
You mentioned this animosity. I mean, certainly all families, have some of it, whether we want to admit it or not. Everybody's got different reasons to have some kind of rivalry in their family. But also in this case, there's a subtext going on. There are Americans, Sonny's kind of American side of the family, Sonny's French side of the family, and then there's also this West Indian immigrant part of the family. So there are differences between people because of where they're from.
Absolutely. And I wanted to explore in the novel, as a kind of subplot, the whole kind of rivalry that existed, as I remember it from a little girl, between, say, African Americans and West Indians. And it had largely to do with economics, because given the sort of huge American apple pie, there are only the crumbs trickling down to the minority communities. And I think that was largely responsible for the kind of conflicts and rivalries that I remember as a little girl. The other thing is that given the fact that I was bicultural, very much African-American, and I was also at the same time West Indian because my folks had come to the United States. And it would pain me tremendously when I would hear one group talking about the other. And so one of the themes really that has, in a sense, undergirded my work over the years is the need to kind of bring together, to reconcile those groups. And so here is this little boy, 8.5 years old, who embodies, in a sense, all wings of the Black diaspora. He is African through his father. He is African-American through his grandmother. He is West Indian through his grandfather. So he brings together in his person this unity and this reconciliation, which is one of the themes of my work.
We learned something about jazz in this book, a little bit about the history of jazz, just because of Sonny's experiences, the elder Sonny. Now I'm talking about the jazz musician Sonny. I wondered if you're a jazz buff or if this was just a good way to explain to people about the difficulties that Black musicians have faced in this country because of discrimination, but also the difficulties that this character faced within his own family wanting to be a jazz musician.
Well, the source of it was that I realized that there was an aspect of this little home place of mine, this portion of Brooklyn in which I grew up, that I'd never dealt with. And it had to do with the fact that music, all kinds of music, music from doo-wop to bebop and beyond, was an important part of its cultural life. As a young woman, I spent a lot of time going to sort of the local clubs. It's a little known fact, but my section of Brooklyn, Bedford-Stuyvesant, or Bed-Stuy as it's called, or as it's now being called, Stuyvesant Heights again, that portion of Brooklyn was a mecca for jazz, almost on the scale of Harlem, back in the late 40s and 50s when I was a young girl. It was nothing to walk down the street and run into the young Max Roach, who was already a world-class drummer, standing there talking to friends. Musicians like Bud Powell, a brilliant pianist, and Charlie Yardbird Parker used to play our local clubs. And I just wanted to, in a sense, let the world know that there was this cultural richness within that community.
I was wondering if you would read a passage, since we're talking about music, mm-hmm. if you would read a passage about music, which is on page 137.
This is the debut performance of Sonny Rhett Payne, the first time he's playing in public at a little local club in Brooklyn. And it's being told from the point of view of Hattie, who has known him all her life. She is the one who for many years has worked as his road manager and the person in the novel that essentially is closer to the grandfather than his wife even. Hattie watched now as he slowly mounted the bandstand and conferred with the bassist and drummer. Those two were all he would need. Then, without announcing the name of the tune he was playing, Everett Payne sat down at the piano and brought his large hands, the fingers long and splayed and slightly arched, down on the opening bars of Sonny Boy Blue. Where, Hattie wondered, did he come by those breathtaking ideas, that wealth of feeling? What was the source? It had to do, she decided, with the way he held his head, angled to the left like that, tilted toward both heaven and earth. His right side, his right ear directed skyward, hearing up there, among the stars, a new kind of music, splintered, atonal, profane, and possessing a wonderful dissonance that spoke to his soul case. For him, this was the true music of the spheres. And when at the piano, he kept his right ear tuned to it at all times, letting it guide and inspire him. As for his left ear, it remained earthbound, trained on the bedrock that was for him Bach and the blues. All those years as a boy, dutifully practicing Bach and Beethoven and Chopin at home, and later on in his teens, sneaking into the record store to listen to Muddy Waters, Count Basie, Art Tatum et al., never mind the beatings that followed when his mother caught him. You heard them, both Bach and the hard, pure lyricism of the blues in that powerful, driving, disciplined left hand of his. Cat got him a mean left hand man. Can't nobody touch it, they would say of him over the years.
I feel like I should know the answer to this. Like, you know, it should have become apparent to me and I feel dense, but I can't figure out why it's called The Fisher King.
Oh. Well, when I was in grammar school, one of the books that was required reading was King Arthur and the Round Table. And one of the legends in that book was the legend of the Fisher King. And the story of the Fisher King is that he's been wounded and that he's almost sort of been imprisoned in his castle. And he's waiting for a knight to come and heal him and to protect him. And I found I could use it as a wonderful sort of metaphor for what the little boy Sonny feels about this grandfather musician of his. The little boy Sonny, if you remember in the novel, loves to draw castles. And in each of the castles that he draws, he places himself in full knightly armor down in the lower right-hand corner, protecting whoever is in that castle. And not only is his grandfather healed and protected in that castle that the little boy Sonny draws, but all of African-American culture.
Paul Marshall teaches in the Graduate Creative Writing Program at New York University. Her latest novel is called The Fisher King. Paul Marshall, thank you.
Thank you.